The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to our deep dive. Today, we're tackling a topic that, let's be honest, often gets a bad rap. Theology.
Yeah, people hear theology and they think, oh, dusty books, irrelevant arguments, maybe just boring.
Exactly. But our source today, David F. Ford's Theology, a very short introduction, actually argues the complete opposite. It's surprisingly fresh and, I think, deeply relevant.
This really is.
So, our mission here is basically to challenge that stereotype. Ford presents theology not as some, you know, dry academic thing, but as this dynamic, really vital and actually practical activity.
He calls it a form of wisdom that's essential for, well, for human flourishing today.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this straight away.
Well, I think he starts by hitting that core problem head on, the disconnect people feel between their maybe lived faith or spiritual sense and this intellectual side.
Like, theology is just a set of rigid old rules.
Precisely. And Ford just sweeps that aside. He says, no, think of it more like an ongoing conversation. It's open-ended, a quest, really.
So why should someone, say, outside of a church or religious studies program, even care?
Ah, that's the key question, isn't it? Ford's answer, essentially, is that theology wrestles with the biggest questions we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suffering, meaning, justice, how we relate to each other.
The fundamental stuff.
Exactly. And if it tackles that, then arguably it's incredibly relevant. It kind of shapes the ethics behind everything else we do.
Okay, so we're going on this quest. Who is David F. Ford? Why is he our guide?
Well, he's a heavyweight in the field, hugely respected, really influential. He was the Regius Professor of Divinity at Cambridge.
That's a prestigious post.
It is. He held it for, what, over 20 years, from 91 to 2015.
But importantly, he wasn't just in the ivory tower.
Not at all. That's what makes him interesting. He's known just as much for his work in public theology.
Meaning how religious ideas connect to public life, politics, culture, that sort of thing.
Yes, precisely. And also his deep commitment to interfaith relations. He actually co-founded the Cambridge Interfaith Program.
Oh, wow. So focusing on dialogue, like between Jewish and Christian traditions.
That was a big focus, yeah. So he's not just thinking about the world in abstract terms.
He's actively engaging with it.
Exactly. And that mix is really key to his perspective. You get this top-level academic rigor, but it's combined with a real pastoral sensitivity.
Meaning he can translate these big, sometimes difficult ideas
into language that's accessible, engaging, and genuinely, well, life-giving. He sees theology as a practical resource, something to help with personal confusion, ethical choices, even global problems.
Okay, so let's get into the book itself then. The main idea seems to be about reclaiming theology.
Yeah, rescuing it from those stereotypes we mentioned, dogmatic, irrelevant, just endless arguing.
And presenting it instead as this essential tool for navigating modern life with wisdom, grace.
Exactly. And he makes it clear, this isn't just for believers, it's for anyone. People of other faiths, skeptics, anyone curious about the conversation.
How does he structure it? It's a very short introduction, but theology is huge.
It is, but he structures it cleverly.
Yeah.
He starts with this wide view, this landscape. He calls it like entering a room full of conversations.
I like that, like walking into a library where major thinkers are all talking.
Kind of, yeah. Augustine, Aquinas, Bonhoeffer. It immediately says, this isn't static, it's alive, it's debated.
So after that big picture.
Then he zooms in. He covers the core Christian ideas, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But then, importantly, he immediately swings back out.
To the practical side.
Right. How to read texts, ethics, dealing with suffering, and crucially, how theology connects to the wider world, politics, economics, the environment.
It sounds pretty comprehensive for a short book.
It is. But the overall aim, he says, isn't just knowledge. It's about fostering a wisdom that can bless the world. It's aimed at positive change.
Okay, let's dig into some of that. Starting with how he defines theology itself. You mentioned it's a craft.
He starts with the classic Latin phrase, fides querens intellectum.
Faith seeking understanding.
All right. But Ford immediately expands that. It's not just understanding, like knowing facts. It's a dynamic activity, a verb, not just a noun.
So like learning a skill.
Exactly. He calls it a craft. And like any craft, it involves skills you can learn, interpreting texts, praying, engaging in worship, reasoning ethically. It's open to anyone willing to learn.
Okay, but what about the really complex doctrines, like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Doesn't that get abstract and, well, academic again?
You'd think so, but Ford's approach is fascinating here. He sidesteps the mathematical puzzle aspect.
Wow.
He argues the Trinity isn't about solving a math problem. It's a profound statement about reality itself. It's saying that God, at the deepest level, is relational, a community of self-giving love.
Ah, so if God is relational, then reality is fundamentally relational.
That's the implication. And that directly challenges our modern tendency towards, you know, hyper-individualism. It puts community and connection right at the core of existence.
That relational idea must also change how you approach suffering, the problem of evil.
It does, massively. Yeah. Ford doesn't offer easy answers. Instead, he points straight to the crucified Christ.
So the response isn't a neat explanation.
No, it's a statement of solidarity. God isn't just watching from afar. God enters into the mess, the pain, the suffering.
So the question shifts from why me to maybe where is God with me in this?
Exactly. It changes everything.
And that focus on Christ brings us to Christology, understanding Jesus. Ford stresses the classic idea, fully human, fully divine.
Right. And he highlights the cross as the ultimate symbol of God's love, unconditional, self-giving. But then there's the other side.
The resurrection.
Yeah, the foundation of Christian hope, the triumph of life over death. Ford argues that all Christian ethics, all hope for renewal, really flows from that story, death and new life.
Okay, this is where it feels really dynamic. The Holy Spirit. Pneumatology. You said pneuma means breath or wind.
It does. And Ford talks about the Spirit as this active, empowering presence. The breath that gives life to the church, to individuals.
So it's not just about believing things.
No. It's about being moved, being transformed, like feeling the music, not just hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit, for Ford, is what guides interpretation, but also, crucially, fosters the actual virtues, love, joy, peace.
Patience, something I always need more of.
Huh, me too. But yeah, the point is transformation into a more loving, more just person, not just ticking doctrinal boxes.
And this transformed person then needs to engage with texts, with the world. Let's talk about reading sacred texts. How does Ford approach that?
He warns against two extremes. On one side, you've got rigid literalism, ignoring context, complexity.
And on the other?
Dismissive skepticism, just writing it all off as irrelevant.
So the middle ground.
He calls interpretation hermeneutics, a sophisticated craft. Like a skilled woodworker understands the grain of the wood, you need to understand historical context, literary style.
And it's best done in community.
Yes, communal reading is key. And the goal isn't just intellectual understanding, it's transformation. How does this text change us?
And that change can't just be personal, right? It has to spill out.
Absolutely. When he talks about relating to others and living in the world, he's clear theology is social. It is ethical.
He calls the church a school of love, but the lessons are for the world.
Exactly. This is where public theology comes back in. Faith has to engage with the big issues, politics, economics, the ecological crisis.
You mentioned shalom earlier, flourishing.
Yes, shalom. It's more than just peace. It's wholeness, well-being, justice, restoration for all of creation. Ford argues that striving for that comprehensive flourishing is the ultimate goal.
That gives it a real urgency, doesn't it?
It really does. And to show this isn't just one way of thinking, he profiles different theologians,
yeah.
Augustine with his personal confession, Aquinas using systematic reason, and then someone like Bonhoeffer.
Theology forged in resistance to the Nazis.
Right. Showing that sometimes these ideas are literally matters of life and death. It's not a game.
Okay, so if we were to boil this down for listeners, what are the absolute core themes running through the book?
Well, first, definitely, theology is lived wisdom and craft. It's practical. The real test is whether it helps produce love, joy, justice in the world.
Not just whether it's logically neat.
Exactly. Second, that idea of the relational nature of reality. Because God is relational. Trinity, reality is relational. That's a huge challenge to individualism.
And grounds things like reconciliation and community. Okay, what else?
Third, theology is conversational. It's done with others, with history, with other faiths, with science. It requires humility, openness.
Not closed off certainty.
Right. And finally, that overarching goal, holistic flourishing, or shalom. It's about healing and restoring the whole creation, right here, right now.
Which makes it incredibly relevant to today's crises.
Undeniably.
There are some really memorable ideas, almost like anchors, in the book. What stands out?
Well, that core definition itself. Theology is best understood not as a body of knowledge, but as a dynamic wisdom sought through the practice of faith-seeking understanding. That reframes everything.
It really does. It puts the emphasis on the doing.
Yeah. And I love how he makes the Trinity practical. The Christian confession of God as Trinity is not a mathematical problem, but a profound declaration that reality, at its very core, is relational. Suddenly, this ancient doctrine speaks to, you know, office politics or neighborhood disputes.
Huh, true. And his call for public engagement.
Yes. Theology must be a public discipline, must engage courageously and humbly with the great issues of our time. It's a direct challenge.
No hiding away.
Yeah.
And the ultimate test.
Right. The ultimate test of theology is not its logical consistency, but its capacity to illuminate and transform human existence. Does it actually change anything? That's the question.
Okay, so let's make it even more practical. How might reading this book actually change how someone lives or thinks?
Well, one obvious way is a new way to read the Bible. Instead of just hunting for rules or facts, you start asking, what does this show me about God? How does it invite me to live differently now?
So it becomes more about transformation than information.
Exactly. Second, navigating suffering. Understanding God with us in pain, rather than causing it or preventing it, gives a foundation for faith that can actually withstand tragedy. It offers solidarity, not easy answers.
That's huge. What else?
Third, maybe enhancing dialogue. In a world that's so polarized, Ford's model encourages listening, humility, learning to engage respectfully, even with views you strongly disagree with.
A much-needed skill.
For sure. And finally, it helps in developing a mature faith. Gives you tools to wrestle with hard questions, to move beyond a simplistic faith to something more robust, more resilient, that can handle complexity.
You know, my biggest takeaway from this whole discussion is just how completely Ford transforms that word, theology.
Yeah. How so?
Well, it stops being this dusty, exclusive thing for academics in old libraries. It becomes an invitation, an open invitation to this passionate, intelligent search for meaning and wisdom.
A quest, like you said earlier.
Yeah, a quest pursued by real people dealing with real life, like Bonhoeffer facing unimaginable choices. It makes it human again.
That's a great way to put it. For me, the thing that sticks is that relentless focus on flourishing, on shalom.
The restoration of everything.
Right. He makes such a strong case that faith isn't supposed to be just a private comfort blanket or, you know, a personal get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a public commitment, an active, informed, compassionate way of being in the world, working towards its healing. It really is a paradigm shift.
A powerful way to rethink what it all means.
Definitely.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.